Imagine having a Mercedes, but not realizing this is the type of vehicle you have. All you know is that you have a vehicle. Now imagine your friends inviting you for an off-road adventure with their Jeeps. Unaware that you've got a luxury car, you join them and promptly find yourself stuck in the mud. Frustration sets in as you question your competence, convinced there's something wrong with your ability to drive. Then, someone enlightens you, pointing out what a beautiful Mercedes you have, yet questioning why you are trying to drive it through the mud. Surprised, you realize you've misunderstood the situation. "I have a Mercedes?" you ask incredulously. The revelation brings relief as you recognize why off-roading suits your friends with Jeeps, but not you with your Mercedes. Your car is perfect the way it is, as long as it is used in the right situations. Use what it was built for. The realization lifts the weight of self-doubt, as until now you'd wondered why you were having such a hard time getting around. You'd had a disconnect between what you were driving and where you should drive it. Now that you've turned to city streets, your car has never been better. Human design can provide you with this sort of liberating sensation as you come to realize that there is nothing wrong with the way you are. The way you are built, the way you operate, is perfect for the purpose you are here to fulfill. The question is, do you know what type of car you have? And do you know how to drive it? Stay tuned as we delve into various types found in human design and discover the correct way to navigate each of them. This is the Heart Health Joy Podcast. Inspiration, tips, and tools to find your purpose, live in health, and experience all the joy that life has to offer. I'm your host, Anna, and I invite you on this journey on personal growth and fulfillment. In human design, there are four types: generators, manifestors, projectors, and reflectors. You can liken them to different types of vehicles. If you've explored human design online, you may have encountered information suggesting that there are five types. However, this is a misconception. The confusion arises due to a subtype of generator known as manifesting generator. But it is crucial to understand that both fall under the broader category of generators. When discussing type, we refer to a specific aura that operates in a distinctive manner. Although generators are divided into groups, their aura remains that of a generator, functioning in a highly specific way. Now, let's delve into the world of generators, constituting 70% of the population. Because so many people belong to this group, this is a generator world. The generators are responsible for generating the life force of the planet. Their aura is expansive and embracing, carrying an abundance of life force energy when they are aligned correctly. Generators thrive when working what they are passionate about. The well-known quote, "Know thyself," inscribed upon the Temple of Apollo, is tailored for generators, as they are the soul type inherently driven to explore and understand themselves. As I mentioned before, there is a subtype of generators known as manifesting generators. Their aura possesses the same qualities, but the key distinction lies in the fact that manifesting generators have a motor connected to the throat center. This configuration enables them to transition rapidly from response to manifestation. I will delve in the concept of responding in a moment, but in short, manifesting generators operate with speed and efficiency, while other generators typically adhere to a more step-by-step approach. As a side note, A human design body graph is comprised of 9 centers, which are focal points or hubs responsible for receiving and transforming the life force circulating through your body graph. These centers serve various functions. For instance, some act as centers of awareness, while others function as motors. So when I say that manifesting generators have a motor connected to the throat center, this is what I'm referring to. Let me give you an example. My husband is a generator, and I am a manifesting generator. We work in harmony on so many levels. We share similar preferences and agree on most things. But one noticeable difference has always been our paces. Take, for instance, washing dishes. He meticulously cleans them in a methodical manner, ensuring no steps are skipped, and gradually places them in the dishwasher. On the contrary, I would rush to load them into the dishwasher, aiming for maximum speed. Admittedly, my approach doesn't always result in perfectly clean dishes. Both types offer unique benefits. Due to my tendency to complete tasks swiftly, I sometimes skip steps and make mistakes. In such instance, I turn to my husband for assistance. His methodical step-by-step approach allows him to identify errors and guide me in correcting them, a process I lack the patience for. Conversely, my ability to find faster and more efficient ways of doing things allows me to assist him in speeding up certain processes. Long before knowing human design, we recognized this difference and even laughed about it when we weren't in the midst of being frustrated about it. For all the things that were so easy about our marriage, this wasn't much of a burden to bear. But once we understood human design in our individual body graphs, suddenly it all made sense. We understand that we are each other designed this way, that if someone knew our body graphs ahead of time, they could have predicted this difference before we ever knew each other. Not only has it given us language to talk about it and a better way to understand and work with it, had we been guided with human design prior to marriage, for instance, we would have been much more prepared for accepting and actually making the most of these complementary differences. Understanding how to navigate any of the types in human design involves following its specific strategy. The strategy for generators entails not initiating anything and solely responding to external stimuli. In other words, waiting for something to come towards you rather than going after something. I often encounter skepticism when explaining this strategy, with many questioning whether doing nothing will lead to any results. However, the key lies in the magnetic and attractive nature of a generator's aura. Always in a state of response, the generator's aura naturally draws in people and situations. Generators always have something to respond to. Although generators make up 70% of the population, they are under significant pressure to behave like manifestors, which is the only type among the four that are meant to initiate things. Parents and society in general tend to push generators to pursue their goals with a just-do-it mindset, echoing the Nike motto. That's why when we ask them to respond to things rather than initiating them, generators often feel like this approach will lead to them doing nothing. This is not the case, but they have been conditioned to be something they are not. And when we fail to live according to our own strategy, we become unaligned from our own purpose in our own best path. Now, what do I mean by a response? It is not a thinking process, but an automatic response that you need to learn to recognize and follow. The response that comes from a generator typically manifests as a vocal sound like uh-huh or uh-uh, or any sound for that matter. Sometimes I do like For manifesting generators, it often takes the form of a body movement towards something or an expression of excitement signifying openness or a yes response. Conversely, moving away from something or a lack of excitement signifying closure or a no response. Understanding and identifying this response is a process that requires time. It is akin to exercising a muscle that may have atrophied over the years. In this case, due to societal conditioning, is steering most generators away from responding and from relying on their inner authority. Too many of us have been pushed towards using our minds for decision-making, a point we discussed in the last episode, emphasizing the inadequacy of the mind for such tasks. You might recall parents urging their children to use words instead of just nodding or making sounds like, uh-huh. Johnny, please use your words. But in fact, those movements and sounds are natural to generators and help to guide them in the right direction. As a manifesting generator, recognizing a definitive no response is quite straightforward for me. When my body refrains from movement, coupled with a lack of excitement, it serves as a clear indicator that I am closed to whatever is being presented or asked of me. At times, I may feel neutral, suggesting that it is either a potential no or not the right moment for a decision. This is because the generator responds in the moment, depending on the energy they have for something. For them, a no now doesn't mean a no forever. It signifies a no at that moment. Effectively communicating with a generator involves asking questions that aid in the discovery of their responses. When interacting with a child generator, instead of dictating their clothing choices, food, and so on, consider presenting options and encouraging them to express their preferences using their unique vocal or physical cues like uh-huh or uh-uh. This approach may assist in nurturing the development of their unique strategy and inner authority. When a generator is operating correctly, they experience satisfaction. However, when they are off track, frustration sets in. And for a manifesting generator, anger is an additional emotional response. This serves as a signature, a valuable signpost indicating whether they are aligned with their correct self or not. Now, shifting focus from generators, let's move into the world of manifestors. Comprising about 7 to 10% of the population, manifestors were historically figures of authority, queens and kings, playing a pivotal role in initiating actions. Their aura is closed and repelling, although not repulsive. An interesting anecdote highlights the emotional impact of understanding one's human design. I recall discussing human design with a client, revealing that she was a manifestor, which explained why she seemed to repel other people. The revelation brought her to tears as she had spent years feeling that something was wrong with her due to others' reactions to her powerful aura. The important point here is understanding your nature, how you interact with others, the challenges you may face, and how to properly work with your type in order to overcome and actually find success in the way you're built. Manifestors are important because of their unique role. They are the only type with the innate ability to initiate. During the early stages of civilization, manifestors were predominant, contributing with their assertive attitudes to initiate essential actions. So manifestors possess a strong aura with a special purpose. This is beautiful. But initially, this aura may make others feel threatened and uncomfortable. Personally, I can discern a manifestor in a group, sensing their presence. While I do need to initially adjust to their auras, I often find their company very enjoyable. Contrary to their robust exterior, manifestors are sensitive individuals. Their independent nature and strong aura may lead them to be misunderstood, and consequently, they might find themselves alone at times. Again, this is why we want to understand our nature and learn to steer ourselves accordingly, so we don't suffer the many challenges of using our vehicle incorrectly. Driving a manifestor vehicle involves a strategy known as informing. Manifestors, as natural initiators, tend to act without informing, triggering negative reactions from those close to them who feel threatened. While informing may not be their preference, it is a crucial skill for maintaining healthy relationships. Failing to inform, even if their actions are correct for them, can result in backlash and burn bridges. It is very important for manifestors to understand the impact they have on others. That's why it's also very important that they inform others of their actions. Imagine a scenario where a manifestor husband decides to leave his job without informing his wife or co-workers. He simply quits and departs. Even if this is the correct course of action for him, his failure to inform will generate negative responses and resistance. It will impact the company, his and his wife's finances, the marriage relationship, and so on. The strategy of informing aims to remove resistance, allowing them to initiate more freely. However, it is essential for manifestors to wait for their inner authority before initiating. When correct, manifestors experience a sense of peace. When incorrect, they feel anger, a powerful signature guiding them to understand their alignment with their true selves. Now let's explore the fascinating world of projectors. Personally, I hold a special affection for them, particularly because my younger son is a projector, emanating a calming energy that I appreciate. Projectors constitute approximately 21% of the population, and this number is on the rise. Their incarnation began sometime after 1781, following a significant mutation, which intriguingly merits its own podcast discussion. Unlike manifestors, projectors have a unique approach to leadership, focusing on others and guiding them. Unlike generators, they are not primarily interested in knowing themselves. Rather, they learn about themselves by connecting with others. Distinct from energy-generating types like generators and manifestors, projectors are non-energy beings. Their aura is focused and absorbing, allowing them to penetrate the auras of others when properly invited. Contrary to what you might think, they are not energy vampires. Their interaction is symbiotic, creating a mutually beneficial relationship. They have a special connection to generators. Driving the projector vehicle involves a specific strategy. They cannot initiate and require proper invitation or recognition. Without this, projectors may unknowingly absorb incorrect conditioning from the environment and people. Being around correct people and in the right environment is crucial for projectors, as they are highly susceptible to conditioning. They also need time alone to be in their own aura, and recognizing their need for solitude is crucial to avoid such pitfalls. In my experience as a nutritional consultant and bioenergetics practitioner, I've noticed a common health pattern among projectors, a consistent lack of energy resulting in exhaustion. This occurs because they are amplifying the energy of generators, and it is likely are acting without being properly invited or recognized or didn't follow their inner authority. Reflecting on my family dynamics, my husband and I, both generators, have two adult sons. Even before delving into human design, we observed that one son consistently became tired more quickly during vacations and needed time alone. Understanding his projector nature has shed light on this pattern, clarifying why he needs this time alone. It's intriguing to me as I examine his body graph and realize how his design naturally protects his energy. Without consciously knowing, he has been following his design correctly by communicating when he needs space or decline invitations to certain places if he anticipates not having enough energy for other priorities. Due to a lack of awareness of human design, it is common for parents to unintentionally push projector children, treating them as children that have a different nature, like manifestors and generators. This frequently leads to a rebellious nature in the child. Recognizing and understanding a child's unique design can contribute significantly to creating harmonious family dynamics. When projectors receive an invitation, it's crucial for them to listen to their inner authority to determine whether to accept or decline. Their signature response is a sense of success when their decision is correct, and a bitter feeling when it is not. The bitterness experienced by a projector is truly profound. Finally, we have the reflectors, making up just 1% of the population. And so far, I've had the privilege of meeting 4. They are always described as resistant and sampling, often likened to a Teflon aura, as nothing easily adheres to it. This quality is crucial for reflectors given their highly open body graph. The unique aura acts as a shield against the potential conditioning that can occur when one lacks defined centers. Reflectors stand out from other types. Bra talks about them as lunar beings rather than the other types, which are connected to the sun. Like projectors, they are non-energy beings, tasked with reflecting and mirroring aspects of life back to us. Let me take a moment to explain something about the centers in the body. A center can be defined or undefined. Undefined centers are areas where you learn and experience life, where you are open to the outside world, to the other, serving as a space for developing wisdom, but also susceptible to not-self behavior. Life force in these centers is not inherently reliable and can only be activated by external influences, such as other people or planetary transits. These centers also amplify energy. On the other hand, defined centers represent your unique imprinting. The life force in these centers is consistently reliable and constant, reflecting your distinct definition. A reflector does not have any defined centers, and that's why having a Teflon aura is beneficial. For reflectors, decision-making is a deliberate process, taking a minimum of 28 days or an entire lunar cycle. Their pace is markedly different from all the other types, and similar to projectors and generators, they cannot initiate. Navigating life can be challenging for reflectors, especially when attempting to conform to the traits of other types, which can lead to health and mental issues when they are not operating correctly. Despite these challenges, reflectors possess the potential for profound wisdom. When correct, their signature is one of surprise, while disappointment sets in when they are not aligned with their true self. If we conceptualize the types within a company structure, manifestors can be seen as the CEOs, projectors as managers, and generators as the workers. Reflectors positioned in the middle reflect the state of the company back to the rest of the people. As you can see, each type is really like a different type of vehicle that needs to be driven in a way that's appropriate to that vehicle. Fail to do this, and you can run into all sorts of problems. But understand your type and work correctly with it, and life flows more smoothly and moves you towards your real purpose. Of course, this is just a high-level overview on types. And beyond that, there are so many more nuances in each individual's personal design. So this is just a starting point for thinking differently about what you can know about yourself and how you can move more easily through life. Until next time, embrace that which is unique in you and know that the world needs you to express it in alignment with your truest self. Thank you for joining me for this episode. If you enjoy it and would like to continue this journey, make sure to subscribe to the channel. You can also stay up to date on all my news and episodes by subscribing to my mailing list at hearthealthjoy.com. Till next time, stay in joy.